Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Monday, July 13th, 2020. Coming up this hour,
Florida overtakes New York as the country's top coronavirus hotspot.
Disney opens theme parks in the state despite a surge in cases.
White House officials double down on the push to reopen schools.
And China targets U.S. senators with fresh sanctions.
New York City reaches a positive milestone in the fight against COVID-19. Plus, more than a dozen sailors were injured after a fire on board a U.S. Navy ship. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshauer in sports. Great finishes in golf and NASCAR, and the NFL team in Washington will no longer be called the Redskins.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Withum, a forward-thinking advisory and accounting firm helping clients to be in a position of strength in the new reality of business. Learn about their innovative solutions by visiting Withum.com.
And U.S. futures gaining to start the week, 6:01 on Wall Street. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are up 12 points. Dow futures up 136. NASDAQ futures up 55. The DAX in Germany is up 1%. 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 0.63%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.14%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.5% or 61 cents at $39.94 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.6% or $11.20. cents at 18.13.10 an ounce. The euro 1.1321 against the dollar. The yen 107.09. And PepsiCo reporting its second quarter profit that beat analyst estimates. And this data check brought to you by IBKR, the professional's gateway to the world's markets. Their clients enjoy lowest cost access to stocks, options, futures, forex, and fixed income from a single integrated account. Learn more at IBKR.com. Nathan.
Karen, we begin in Florida with the state hitting a record for coronavirus infections, reporting more than 15,000 daily cases, the highest level ever for any state, including New York. At the same time, the push to reopen schools is gathering steam. Alberto Carvalho is superintendent of Miami-Dade County Schools.
It is quite possible if the social behavior and the restrictions in place, if people wear masks, if people exercise social distancing, that conditions may be appropriate and healthy for students to return to the very best model of teaching and learning, which is in person.
Carvalho spoke on Meet the Press, heard right here on Bloomberg Radio. He says Miami-Dade will likely open sports training camps at schools later this month.
And Florida's not alone. The push to reopen classrooms is coming on strong from the White House.
There's nothing in the data that suggests that kids being in school is in any way dangerous.
Education Secretary Betsy DeVos took to Fox News Sunday, heard on Bloomberg Radio, to downplay the health risks of students returning to classrooms.
Parents are expecting that this fall their kids are going to have a full-time experience with their learning, and we need to follow through on that promise.
DeVos is also repeating threats from President Trump to cut funding for schools that don't fully resume in-person learning this fall.
Meantime, in Arizona, deaths from the virus rose for a third day while cases declined. South Carolina reported its highest positivity rate on record. 22% came back positive for COVID-19. In states like those, a few simple changes could do a lot to curb the virus. That's according to Assistant Secretary of Health Admiral Brett Giroir.
Closing bars is an important thing. Limiting the capacity of restaurants is an important thing.
President Trump's former head of coronavirus testing spoke on ABC's This Week, also heard on Bloomberg Radio. He says the administration's monitoring the outbreak and thinks it can be contained.
We are all very concerned about the rise in cases, no doubt about that, and that's why we're meeting regularly. We're surging in assistance, but we are in a much better place.
That place right now has daily U.S. infections rising by nearly 60,000 a day.
On average, California accounts for nearly 10,000 of those daily cases, and now there's where the virus is spreading at one of the state's favorite summer vacation spots. And here with more is Ed Baxter from our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
South Lake Tahoe, with the influx of people wanting to get into boats, wanting to party and drink, there is concern for the next weeks, and already a reported increase in per capita infection rate exceeding the state's goals. El Dorado County's health director, Dr. Nancy Williams, says if South South Lake Tahoe. If it were the region where its own county, it would now be added to the state's monitoring list and asked to curtail certain activities. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thanks. Back in Florida, Disney opened its Magic Kingdom and Animal Kingdom parks on Saturday despite surging infections in Florida. We spoke with Disney's chairman of parks, Josh D'Amaro, who joined us from Magic Kingdom.
There's a responsibility for both our guests and in our operating environment. And as we continue to open up, we're adjusting and modifying where we need to modify. But I'd say in general, if you were to walk down Main Street today or look around a merchandise shop, you're going to see a very different experience than you ever have before.
And Disney's conducting temperature checks at the gate, mandating masks and controlling capacity by requiring reservations. Still, employee unions want even more precautions. Disney's Epcot and Hollywood Studios parks are scheduled to open Wednesday.
We turn now from coronavirus news to increasing tensions between the U.S. and China. This morning, Beijing announced sanctions against U.S. officials, including Senators Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio. It's seen as retaliation for U.S. measures tied to the treatment of ethnic minorities in China. Bloomberg's Jody Schneider has more from Hong Kong.
This is very much in this back and forth we continue to see. Whenever the U.S. does something to raise the tensions, we see it on the Chinese side within a week. So clearly we are seeing the pushback right now from the Chinese government.
The move is seen as largely symbolic. China's foreign ministry says sanctions take effect today, but declined to elaborate on specific measures.
On the corporate front, we have an acquisition in the chip industry. Analog Devices has agreed to buy Maxim Integrated Products for around $17 billion. The deal values the combined company at around $68 billion.
A prominent bank is preparing for job cuts. According to Swiss media, Credit Suisse is considering a savings plan that could cut hundreds of positions. The bank is reportedly mulling reductions to domestic branches as the pandemic boosts online operations.
Oil is falling as OPEC prepares its next move. Historic output cuts helped prices double in the past few months. Now the group considers how to unwind those measures. OPEC and its allies hold an online summit Wednesday. We're seeing crude decline ahead of that meeting. Right now, NYMEX crude is lower by 1.75% or 71 cents at $39.84 a barrel. Brent is down 1.4% at $42.63.
S&P futures are higher, up 11 points this morning, and Dow futures are up 118. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 6:07 on Wall Street. Michael Barr has more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. New York City, once the epicenter of the nation's coronavirus outbreak, reported its first day with zero confirmed or probable virus deaths since the pandemic hit New York State. The milestone came in initial data from the New York City Department of Health and Mental Hygiene. It marked the end of a four-month stretch since the city reported its first COVID-19 fatality on March 11th. The confirmed daily death count hit its highest on April 7th at 597. Meanwhile, daycare can resume today. Among several restrictions, no more than 15 children will be allowed in a classroom in New York City. More than a dozen sailors were hospitalized after a fire broke out on the USS Bonhomme Richard in Naval Base San Diego. Rear Admiral Philip Sobek.
Sailors across this waterfront are absolutely doing a magnificent job to save this, the USS Bonhomme Richard. They're fighting their ship, and they're saving their ship.
What started the fire isn't clear. The ship was undergoing maintenance or construction. Democratic nominee Joe Biden has taken a five-point lead over President Trump among voters in Texas following a surge in coronavirus cases and deaths there, according to a poll by a Dallas Morning News University of Texas at Tyler survey. Biden has 46% compared to 41% for Trump. Senator Lindsey Graham is preparing to invite former special counsel Robert Mueller to testify before a Senate panel about the probe of Russian interference in the 2016 election. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi continued to slam President Trump's decision to commute the prison sentence of his longtime friend and political advisor Roger Stone as an act of staggering corruption. Pelosi spoke on CNN's State of the Union.
People should know this isn't just about lying to Congress. That means lying to the American people, witness tampering and the rest. And it's about our national security.
The White House earlier said Stone is a victim of the Russia hoax that the left and its allies in the media perpetuated for years. Actress Kelly Preston has died. Her husband John Travolta announced Preston lost her two-year battle with breast cancer. Kelly Preston was 57. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. It's just before 6:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Report. Here's John Stashower.
All right, Nathan, the name change becomes official today, or at least the football team in Washington we know will no longer be called the Redskins. That news had been coming since corporate sponsors began to demand that owner Dan Snyder give in to the calls for the change. Still unknown, though, is what the new name will be. Lakers have lost a key player, nothing to do with COVID. Rajon Rondo broke his thumb at practice last night, likely to miss most, if not all, of the upcoming NBA playoffs. Exciting finishes in golf and NASCAR, Mirfield, Ohio. Justin Thomas led Colin Morikawa by three shots with three holes to play, but they went to a playoff, and Thomas rolled in a 50-foot putt, but Morikawa made a 25-footer of his own, and then Thomas missed a 9-foot putt that would have won it on the second extra hole. Morikawa won on the third. It's his second career title. In NASCAR in Kentucky, 22-year-old Cole Custer passed three drivers on the final lap and got his first title. Yankee closer Aroldis Chapman tested positive for COVID. He's got mild symptoms, not known how long he'll be out. But manager Aaron Boone says he's got a replacement in Zach Britton.
Look, obviously Britton's been an elite closer in this game for a long time and still a great pitcher. So he naturally could fill that role. You know, it's easy to put him in that. But, again, with our team and with our bullpen and our pitchers, we feel confident in a lot of guys. But Britt would be a natural guy if you know, Chappie wasn't back at that point.
Gerrit Cole again looks sharp in an intra-squad game. Aaron Judge didn't play. He's got a stiff neck. Clint Frazier among the MLB players who will wear a mask during games. Frazier says it's a good example to set. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
And John, a Swiss sports shoe company backed by tennis star Roger Federer is preparing for an IPO as soon as next year. That's according to Swiss media, which say the company called On could be worth more than $2 billion. On's running shoes are available in more than 6,500 shops around the world. S&P futures higher by 14 points. Dow futures up 143. NASDAQ futures gaining 61 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And the Bloomberg Sports Report was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Uncertain about your financial future? Let Burden serve as your trusted advisor and create innovative solutions to help protect you, your family, and your business. Visit BurdenLLP.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. PepsiCo reporting stronger than expected sales in the second quarter as consumers kept stocking up on snack foods and beverages during the COVID-19 pandemic. Meanwhile, we're watching shares of analog devices up 0.8% in early trading. It boosted its third quarter revenue forecast, and as we've been reporting, it entered into a definitive agreement to buy Maxim Integrated Products in an all-stock transaction that values the combined enterprise at over $68 billion. S&P futures are higher at 14 points this morning. Dow futures up 147, NASDAQ futures up 64. The DAX in Germany is up 1%, the 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 0.63%, and the yield on the 2-year 0.15%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.6% or 66 cents at $39.89 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.6% or $11.20 at $18.13.20 an ounce. The euro 1.1328 against the dollar, British pound 1.2609. And the yen's at 107.10. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, there was a devastating wave of new COVID-19 cases over the weekend, including Florida, with a record 15,000 cases in a single day on Sunday. Doctors are now warning that ICU units across the country are near or at capacity. Firefighters at Naval Base San Diego are still working today to put out all of the fire on board a Navy amphibious assault ship that caught fire on Sunday. 21 people were injured. Washington won't be the Redskins after today, according to multiple reports. After mounting public pressure, including from its biggest sponsors, the NFL team will drop the name. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It's 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. As we get ready for the kickoff of second quarter earnings season, the big banks will be first to report. And ahead of that, we welcome Allison Williams, Senior Financial Services Analyst at Bloomberg Intelligence. Nice to have you with us, Allison, though not many analysts, I think, are expecting things to be too pretty in the financial sector. Certainly hasn't been since the end of the first quarter.
Yes, it will be a very tough quarter, and I think, the biggest hit is going to come from loan loss provisions, and that's really sort of accounting for the losses to come. If we look at the current quarter, there are a couple of tailwinds coming into the quarter that did stay strong, actually, and that relates to trading revenue as well as underwriting revenue. By contrast, M&A will be a low light, but we do expect strong growth in those areas, which should help to fund some of the loss provisions. The other thing we're going to be looking at is loan growth. And coming into the quarter, we had very strong increases in commercial and industrial lending, and that was really because of the drawdowns that were happening sort of beginning in March. March and April, we did see like a big jump in those loans being drawn down, and subsequently a lot of that has been paid down. So that's, at the end of the day, good for credit quality going forward, right? Because if a lot of companies are pulling down credit lines because they are in dire need and might not be able to pay those back, that's obviously not a good thing. But subsequently, those companies really tapping the buoyant capital markets and paying down those loans. But for the quarter, the average balances of C&I should be somewhat helpful to interest income. Coming out of the quarter, that's obviously going to be less helpful. And with the capital markets and debt underwriting, we are moving into the seasonally slower quarter as we exit 2Q.
All right. Well, let's start with the loan loss provisions, because obviously that was a huge issue at the end of the first quarter. Do you think that those are going to be as dire as they were then in the second quarter?
So I do think that the second quarter loss provisions will be at least in line with what we saw in the first quarter and could actually be higher. So two things. First of all, the economic situation has worsened since that point in time. And so keep in mind we've had an accounting change in the U.S., and banks need to sort of look ahead and estimate what they think the future losses are going to be over the lives of those loans. Even when we had reported earnings in April, banks said that things had already worsened since that sort of March 31st cutoff. So the fact that things have gotten worse in terms of the outlook since then will require the banks to put up reserves. Things are changing very rapidly, but they will have to make a cut at June 30th, and so the expectation is that we're going to be looking at a scenario that's sort of at least as bad as the first quarter. You know, the question is, can things get better from here, right? So it's because these reserves are more front-loading, there is the potential that if we do experience sort of the more bullish side of things and have some sort of a V-shaped recovery, you know, could that mean that that we're reserved enough even as the losses come through? Mm-hmm. On the flip side, in a W or U or any other shape of scenario that are being sort of bandied about, could there be more need for reserves?
Only got about 30 seconds left here. Do you think that the losses from the loan loss provisions could be outweighed by the tailwind of underwriting?
So it won't be outweighed, but it'll help to be an offset. So in aggregate, it sort of could be close, but it's going to be much more positive for someone like Goldman and Morgan Stanley that have more exposure to trading and less exposure to lending, and then less so for someone like J.P. Morgan, Bank of America, Citi. Wells is obviously in the weakest spot.
Yeah, and J.P. Morgan and Citi, of course, kick things off along with Wells Fargo tomorrow. Thanks for this. Allison Williams, Senior Financial Services Analyst at Bloomberg Intelligence, providing unique real-time research and context on industries, all the market and government facts that impact business. Terminal customers can access all the research from Bloomberg Intelligence at BIGO. S&P futures on this Monday morning, higher by 13 points. Dow futures up 140. NASDAQ futures higher by 62 points. 10 years up 2/32. The yield on a 10-year note, 0.63%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 1130 weather, partly sunny today. Could see a passing shower or storm, especially this afternoon, going up to near 85 degrees. Sunny and mid-80s tomorrow and Wednesday.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are gaining to start the week, and as Florida hits a record for coronavirus infections, it's reporting more than 15,000 daily cases, the highest level ever for any state. At the same time, the push to reopen Florida classes is gathering steam. Miami-Dade Superintendent Alberto Carvalho plans to open sports training camps at schools later this month.
We're going to obviously do our very best in our community, considering where the health data currently is.
And speaking on NBC's Meet the Press, Carvalho said science, not politics, needs to drive decisions on schools.
The push to reopen classrooms is also coming on strong from the White House. Education Secretary Betsy DeVos took to Fox News Sunday to downplay the health risks of students returning to class.
There's nothing in the data that suggests that kids being in school is in any way dangerous.
DeVos is also repeating threats from President Trump to cut funding for schools that don't fully resume in-person learning this fall.
Meantime, in Arizona, deaths from the coronavirus rose for a third day. Cases declined. Increasing fatalities will likely continue in the coming weeks, according to Assistant Health Secretary Admiral Brent Giroir.
We do expect deaths to go up. If you have more cases, more hospitalizations, we do expect to see that over the next 2 or 3 weeks before this turns around.
And Giroir tells ABC's This Week the White House is monitoring the outbreak and thinks it can be contained. Meet the Press, Fox News Sunday, and This Week can all be heard Sundays on Bloomberg Radio.
We turn now from coronavirus news to increasing tensions between the U.S. and China. This morning, Beijing announced sanctions against U.S. officials, including Senators Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio. The move is seen as largely symbolic and as retaliation for U.S. measures tied to the treatment of ethnic minorities in China.
On the corporate front, we have an acquisition in the chip industry. Analog Devices agreeing to buy Maxim Integrated Products for nearly $21 billion in stock. The deal represents a 22% premium to Maxim's closing price on Friday.
And PepsiCo is out with earnings that beat estimates. Snack sales helped boost revenue to $16 billion in the second quarter, though organic sales fell 0.3%. Pepsi is still declining to give an outlook for the full year.
Futures this morning on the rise. S&P futures are up about 15 points. Dow futures up 145 and NASDAQ futures up 65. The 10-year Treasury is up 1/32. The yield 0.64% and the yield on the 2-year 0.15%. NYMEX crude oil down 1.7%. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
All right. Thanks, Karen. 6:33 on Wall Street. Michael Barr has more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. It was once the epicenter of the nation's coronavirus outbreak. Over the weekend, New York City reported its first day with zero confirmed or probable virus deaths since the pandemic hit the state. The milestone came in initial data from the New York City Department of Health and Mental Hygiene. It marked the end of a four-month stretch since the city reported its first COVID-19 fatality on March 11th. Meanwhile, children can return to daycare today in New York. Among several restrictions, no more than 15 children would be allowed in a classroom. 21 people have suffered minor injuries in an explosion and fire on board a ship at Naval Base San Diego. The cause of the fire on the USS Bonhomme Richard is under investigation. Rear Admiral Philip Sobek.
An 1,800-foot perimeter has been established around the USS Bonhomme Richard and the surrounding buildings on the base and been evacuated to ensure safety of personnel.
Officials said about 160 sailors and officers were on board, far fewer than the 1,000 typically on the ship when it's on active duty. Democratic nominee Joe Biden has taken a 5-point lead over President Trump among voters in Texas following a surge in coronavirus cases and deaths there, according to new polling. A Dallas Morning News University of Texas at Tyler poll has Biden attracting 46% of registered voters compared to 41% for Trump. Poland's President Andrzej Duda is poised to win a highly charged election after a bitter battle that pitted the conservative incumbent against a pro-European challenger. Criticism continues from both sides of the aisle after President Trump commuted the prison sentence of his longtime friend and political advisor Roger Stone. Stone was set to begin his 40-month prison term for lying to Congress about the Trump campaign's ties to WikiLeaks. Chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, California Democratic Congressman Adam Schiff.
It is a shockingly corrupt abuse of the president to commute the sentence of someone who not only lied to Congress, not only obstructed the investigation, not only intimidated witnesses, but did so to cover up for the president. And Stone made no secret of the fact that he wanted this relief and that he was withholding information to protect the president.
The White House earlier said Stone is a victim of the Russia hoax that the left and its allies in the media perpetuated for years. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks. It's almost 6:36 on Wall Street. Time for the Burton Accountants and Advisors Sports Report with John Stashower.
Nathan, as of today, they are no longer the Washington Redskins after a long, drawn-out battle where team owner Dan Snyder had steadfastly refused to even consider a name change despite calls for years to do it. When a corporate push came, Snyder finally relented. The question now is what the team will now be called. There are reportedly trademark issues to be worked out. Rajon Rondo broke his thumb at Lakers practice last night. He'll miss most, if not all, of the upcoming NBA playoffs. The Lakers' backcourt was already without Avery Bradley, who opted out of the restart. The two stars on the Lakers, LeBron James and Anthony Davis, are two of the few who have decided not to have social justice messages on their uniform. NHL training camps officially open today. Commissioner Gary Bettman says he never doubted his sport would return.
Certainly by March 12th, and I believe based on the way we were all interacting and we were problem solving and we were discussing things and modeling things, I believe that we would get to this point because it was the right thing to do for the game and everybody involved with the game.
24 teams will head to the two hub cities July 26th. The Rangers and Islanders go to Toronto, and then the games start August 1st. And while there'll be a lot of hockey in Toronto, the Blue Jays are not sure they'll be able to play there. Canadian health officials have not yet signed off on it, so the Blue Jays are considering playing their games in Buffalo. MLS games have resumed, but two teams, Dallas and Nashville, are out due to numerous positive tests. And yesterday's game between Toronto and Washington had to be postponed. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
Thank you, John. It's 6:37 on Wall Street. And coming up this week, U.S. banks take center stage with second quarter earnings reports. It kicks off tomorrow with results from J.P. Morgan in the 6 a.m. hour. And here with a preview is Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
Banks are about to reveal what 3 months of COVID-19 has done to the industry. Second quarter results will probably show that the trends that took hold at the start of the year only intensified. That includes slumping consumer spending and surging provisions for loan losses. Fred Cannon is an analyst at KBW.
The new accounting standard that was implemented in the first quarter allows the banks to essentially pull forward their expected losses. So even though losses have not occurred yet, the banks are starting to prepare for that.
Among the names reporting this week, J.P. Morgan Chase, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, Goldman Sachs, BNY Mellon, and Citigroup. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And Charlie, it's also going to be a busy week on the economic front. We're awaiting data on U.S. spending, housing, and jobs. Here with more on that is Bloomberg's Vinny Del. Michelle Giudice.
Consumers are staging a cautious comeback as the coronavirus lingers and in some cases flares up. Economists say June retail sales probably added girth to May's historic gain of almost 18%, accompanied by gains in housing starts and industrial production. Jobless claims, though, remain elevated, with economists forecasting another grim tally topping 1 million. Also this week, the Consumer Price Index, the Fed's Regional Beige Book Survey, and the University of Michigan Consumer Sentiment Index. Vinnie Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Vinnie. It is 6:39 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
Traffic cameras solve lots of problems. I'm Justin Fox, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. In the 1990s, a lot of countries in Europe and elsewhere began installing big networks of cameras to catch speeders and red light runners. Some places in the U.S. did too, but they never caught on in a big way. In recent years, there's even been a backlash, with 13 states now banning speed cameras. Not coincidentally, U.S. traffic fatality rates, once about the same as Australia's and Germany's, are now much higher than in those camera-using countries. Empirical studies, and there are dozens, show a remarkably strong link between use of speed cameras in particular and reduced accidents. There's another reason to favor speed cameras that's especially relevant now. They leave less discretion to the police and highway patrol on whom to pull over, a discretion that has often been used to target black motorists. I'm Justin Fox. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. Another group of struggling American newspapers has been sold to an investment firm. Chatham Asset Management won the auction for bankrupt publisher McClatchy. No word on the sale price. Chatham and fellow McClatchy debt holder Brigham Capital Management previously said they'd submit a bid worth more than $300 million. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And Bloomberg Sports was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Uncertain about your financial future? Let Burden serve as your trusted advisor and create innovative solutions to help protect you, your family, and your business. Visit BurdenLLP.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We continue to watch shares of Analog Devices up 0.9% in early trading after boosting its third quarter revenue forecast and entering into a definitive agreement to buy Maxim Integrated Products. PepsiCo reported stronger than expected sales in the second quarter. Futures this morning are higher, with S&P futures up 11 points, Dow futures up 113, NASDAQ futures up 55. The DAX in Germany is up 0.8%. 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 0.63%. The yield on the 2-year 0.15%. NYMEX crude oil is down 2.2% on 88 cents at $39.67 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.6% or $11.50 at $18.13.30 an ounce. The euro 1.1324 against the dollar. British pound 1.2597 and the yen 107.09. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, the Florida Department of Health has reported more than 15,000 new coronavirus cases. That's the highest number of new cases in a single day by any state since the pandemic began. Actress Kelly Preston has died. Her husband John Travolta announced the 57-year-old actress lost her 2-year battle with breast cancer. Washington's NFL team will get rid of the name Redskins today, according to multiple reports. Owner Dan Snyder and the organization will announce the move 2 weeks before the start of training camp. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it is 6:48 on Wall Street. Time to check what else is going on in D.C., as if a name change for their football team weren't enough. The coronavirus surge continues to dominate official Washington's attention. After Florida recorded a record 15,300 new cases in that state alone yesterday, Assistant Health Secretary Admiral Brett Giroir tells ABC's This Week the U.S. is in a better place than at the last peak of the pandemic 3 months ago.
The testing could allow us to identify a hotspot. We have surge teams, CDC teams, response teams all going to places. We're in much better place for our PPE.
The country is not in a good place with respect to COVID right now.
Dr. Tom Inglesby is with the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health.
Across the South and in California and in a variety of other states, we're having sharp increases in cases, sharp increases in hospitalizations and ventilator use, and now increases in deaths.
Inglesby was on Fox News Sunday. Despite that, the Trump administration is pushing hard to reopen schools this fall. Education Secretary Betsy DeVos was on the same program.
Children get the virus at a far lower rate than any other part of the population. And again, there is nothing in the data that would suggest that kids being back in school is dangerous to them.
But Phoenix Mayor Kate Gallego tells CBS's Face the Nation a full reopening is too risky right now.
We can't open until at least October with the levels of the virus so pronounced in our community.
President Trump's decision to commute Roger Stone's sentence is also making waves. House Intelligence Chairman Adam Schiff tells ABC's This Week anyone who cares about the rule of law should be nauseated.
He lied to cover up and protect the president. And the president, through this commutation, is basically saying, if you lie for me, if you cover up for me, if you have my back, then I will make sure that you get a get-out-of-jail-free card.
And that is some of the conversation from the political shows heard every Sunday right here on Bloomberg Radio. For more on this Monday morning, we're joined by Bloomberg News politics editor Kathleen Hunter. And, Kate, let's start with the coronavirus response. Obviously, we're seeing this continued surge to the South. At the same time, the Trump administration is really continuing to push hard at reopening schools.
Yeah, and this is, I think, really a continuation of the tension that we've been seeing back, dating back to February or March even, where the Trump administration is pushing more, I would say, on the economic end, being concerned about the implications of, you know, things continuing to be closed, things like schools right now, where the emphasis is, having an impact, a follow-on impact on the economy, and, you know, trying to balance that against some of the public health concerns that are out there. And so I think that that's the dynamic that continues to be in play, and now really the focus is looking at schools.
And interestingly, there are growing reports now that the White House is beginning to sideline, or perhaps is continuing to sideline, Dr. Anthony Fauci, and even compiling what could be seen as opposition research if Fauci were a political candidate.
Well, he's an interesting figure because Dr. Fauci has remained consistently quite popular, and there's been several studies done or surveys done that have indicated that the public writ large across the board, you know, trusts him more than they trust Trump in terms of handling of the coronavirus. So I think perhaps in a lot of ways there's certainly speculation out there that that's what's protected his job thus far, you know, given that we've had some indications from Trump via, you know, public statements and tweets that have, you know, sort of undercut some of Fauci's authority in various ways. And so I think that, you know, it's been kind of this simmering issue, but the message essentially coming out of the White House now has been that, you know, Fauci is a doctor. He has a public health perspective, and the implication of that being, you know, that perhaps he doesn't have a broader perspective that also includes the sensitivity to economic implications. I think the term has been used that he has kind of a narrower perspective that's focused just on public health, and that's kind of been the criticism, which, you know, I think it's worth noting that's an interesting criticism to have in the middle of a pandemic, but that's certainly been the Trump administration's, the White House's focus in terms of characterizing him.
All right, let's turn to the commutation of Roger Stone's sentence. Obviously, that's continuing to get a lot of attention here, including from former special counsel Robert Mueller, who doesn't typically make much, if any, public comment on just about anything since his testimony following the release of his report. But he did put out an op-ed in the Washington Post over the weekend.
He did, and I think that, you know, now we're seeing Senator Lindsey Graham, the Republican chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee and a close ally of Trump's, essentially indicating that he might seek to have Mueller come and testify before his panel. That would, you know, potentially would certainly bring the issue of the Russia investigation back into the public consciousness more than it has been in recent weeks. But I think the stipulation there is that it would do it in the context now of Roger Stone's sentence having been commuted, which Trump and his allies are sort of hailing as evidence that, you know, of some kind of course correction or, you know, indication that the conviction of Stone was somehow misguided. And so I think that it gives the Republicans in Congress potentially an opportunity to kind of reframe the Russia debate ahead of the November elections. Obviously, Democrats would take a different tack, and that has the potential of backfiring, but I think that's the thinking there.
Also, interestingly, this morning, Axios says it spoke with Stone, did an interview with him, and he's now saying that now that he's a free man, he plans to campaign for President Trump heading toward the November election. I mean, what kind of impact could that have to have the Russia investigation back potentially in front of voters' minds?
Well, I think it's an indication that the calculus on the part of the Trump campaign or Trump and his allies is that, you know, the Russia investigation is as much of an energizer for their own base as it is for the Democratic base, and perhaps not an issue that's going to really change the minds of independent voters. And so I think in some ways, given that, and also given that we know that Roger Stone is someone whose political background dates back to the Nixon administration, he has a lot of experience in campaigning for Republican candidates and helping to, you know, be the architect of some campaign strategies that have been useful for Republicans in the past, and specifically for Trump. I think in that regard, it's not surprising that we would expect to see him enlisted again in 2020.
Bloomberg Politics Editor Kathleen Hunter, thank you. As always, read more on these stories at Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal and follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington. Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. It is 6:56 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. It's brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, ranked in the top 2% nationally for alumni mid-career earnings and number one for student upward economic mobility. Learn more at njit.edu. Now here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. Mars is about to be invaded by planet Earth big time. Three countries, the United States, China, and the United Arab Emirates, are sending unmanned spacecraft to the red planet in quick succession, beginning this week. Each spacecraft will travel more than 300 million miles before reaching Mars next February. It takes 6 to 7 months at the minimum for a spacecraft to loop out beyond Earth's orbit and sync up with Mars' more distant orbit around the sun. Scientists want to know what Mars was like billions of years ago when it had rivers, lakes, and oceans that may have allowed simple, tiny organisms to flourish before the planet morphed into the barren, wintry desert world it is today. Acts of kindness may not be that random after all. Science says being kind pays off. Research shows acts of kindness make us feel better and healthier. Scientists say it's also key to how we evolved and survived as a species. University of Oxford anthropologist Oliver Curry found at least 27 studies showing the same thing. Being kind makes people feel better emotionally. And finally, Google says it plans to spend $10 billion over the next 5 to 7 years to help accelerate the adoption of digital technologies in India. Sundar Pichai, who was born in the country and is now chief executive of parent Alphabet, says the outbreak of the coronavirus has made clear the importance of technology for conducting business and for connecting with friends and family. And that's today's Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. And Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrow, and Lisa Abramowitz. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.